Lord's sake.
And amen. Thank you, Brother Gary. Appreciate it. I want to turn to three well-known scriptures, verses of scriptures found in Psalms 118, beginning in the 22nd verse of Psalms 118. Psalms 118, verse 22. The stone which the builders refused is become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. I want to focus on those two at first. All three of the verses, verse 24, they all three go together. But verses 23 and 24, the Lord himself mentioned these two verses of scripture. He put them together after a parable that he had told to the Jews. And then the Lord made commentary on these two verses. And after his commentary, the Jews were being very incensed and angry. They then began to plot to kill him. It was the parable. It was the quotation of these two verses and the commentary that the Lord gave about this. And then the Apostle Peter brings up these two verses, and he marries them with a passage in Isaiah. And then he adds the Lord's commentary, and then he makes his commentary. So this is a significant passage of Scripture that is a great prophecy of the coming and the death and the burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, but also how he was perceived in his life and ministry, and the summation of those perceptions, and yet how those perceptions did not stop him from doing what he came to do, and yet overcame the perceptions, overcame the powers behind those, and whatever thoughts and whatever things that they employed to prevent the Lord could not stop it, and how the ultimate victory was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a lot. That's good. That's good. Man, that in itself is a good sermon. I've already preached a good sermon. I just quoted to you the scripture and told you what it meant. That's a good sermon. You think about what it says in Psalms 118. Gives us a picture of a building being constructed, and how the architect of the building, or the contractor, the chief builder, they had brought to him things to be used in the construction of this building, those being stones to be fit together. And they gave the contractor, the architect, whatever, they gave him the stone, one stone, a stone. He said, no, this is not what I want. This is not in my plans. This does not fit the vision that I have for this building. There's flaws in this stone. This stone is no good. And he rejects it. Not only does he reject it, he throws it away. Cast it out. It's not to be used in any means whatsoever. And then the psalmist said, but that same refused stone has become the cornerstone, the chief stone of the corner. You see, the cornerstone is the most important stone of all. By that, all the building is constructed as per that stone. They draw the line from that stone to the other stones, and they lay the other stones in accordance to how the cornerstone is laid. And thus, every stone that goes into the construction is built according to the determinate lay, the pattern of the cornerstone. And it rests upon that. And the strength of that building is determined by the cornerstone and how the cornerstone is laid. And everything about the cornerstone determines the remainder of the construction of the building. A lot of times in a cornerstone, they may put an inscription. They may put the name of the building in the year that the building was constructed. Lavernia Church, their old building burned down, but we still got the cornerstone of that old building, and it's got the name and it's got the year that it was laid. Legend has it, this is legend, that when they laid the cornerstone of the Washington Monument, they placed within it a King James Version of the Bible. That's now Dan Brown thinks it, which makes me suspect that it's not true, but I've read it in other sources. That's what they did. It'd be nice if they did. The second most important stone is what's called a capstone. That's the last stone laid. This is true. The capstone of the Washington Monument does have an inscription, and it says, God is love. Be nice if they lit that one up. You can see it from afar. But a stone that was refused, rejected, became the cornerstone. Our Lord Jesus Christ was despised and rejected of men. He came into his own, and his own received him not. He was cast out, not believed, called names, words were twisted. His own delivered him to the Romans to be crucified. They accepted the guilt of that. They said it. They described their own punishment. His blood be upon us, on our heads. And they even incriminated their children and upon our children. You get what you want then, don't you? You should have wanted the cornerstone. You should have wanted it. You rejected it. You sent him to be killed. And yet, God's will overthrew. And in that dying on the cross, he overcame death, hell, the grave, and made all his enemies his footstool. And now he is the cornerstone. They couldn't stop it, could they? They tried. They tried every which way. They got together. They planned. They schemed. They came up with ideas, designing ideas that they thought that they would stop this man. And they couldn't. They couldn't. They couldn't. Even one of their own, Gamaliel, said, if it's of man, it'll come to naught. But if it's of God, you can't stop it. Guess what? You can't stop it because it's of God. Now our Lord, Jesus Christ, and it's mentioned in three of the Gospels. I'm going to turn to Luke. I don't know why. I just feel like it. Luke's account, Luke chapter 20. He's talking to them. And he gives them this parable of the Lord, of a man, a powerful man, who has men working in his vineyard, and he sends a servant out to check on that vineyard, and they abuse him. He sends another one out to check on them, and they do the same thing. And he says, well, I'll send my son. They won't do anything to him. When they see the son coming, they say, this is the heir. Let's kill him. And they kill him. And the Lord looks at them, that he's just told this story. And he said, what wherefore shall the Lord of the vineyard do unto them?
He shall come and destroy these husbandmen, and shall give the vineyard to others. And when they heard it, they said, God forbid.
Translation, I sure hope you're not talking about us.
You're not, this is not about us, is it?
Yes, it is.
Here comes the Son. He sent his prophets. They didn't believe him. Now here comes the Son. You know what they're going to do to him? They're going to put him to death.
What do you think the Lord's going to do about that?
And then he quotes that text in Psalms 118. After they say, God forbid, he says, what is it then that is written? The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner.
That's happening right now, y'all. Back then, it's happened. It's now. It's true. He is. He's the head of the corner.
Jesus Christ is the chief of all things. And he is the cornerstone. He is the cornerstone of Bethel Church. He's the cornerstone of, ought to be, of our life. He's the cornerstone of every sermon we preach. Without him, it falls apart. There's nothing keeping it together except Christ. We're not the cornerstone. We're just the lively stones that are built according to our Lord Jesus Christ. We ought to. We need to. We should. Vital. It's important. It's important for your life, to your joy and your happiness, and for the worship you ought to give him, that you acknowledge him as the Lord and as the chief cornerstone. Because then he says this. Here's the commentary of our Lord. Verse 18, whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. He says that stone's going to get you in two ways. It'll get you. You fall on it, you die. It falls on you, you die. What that means is you cannot overthrow the purpose of God through his Son, Jesus Christ. You cannot, will not, shall not, in no way stop it, because it is the will of God that his Son came to die for your sins and establish his kingdom. I think about Nebuchadnezzar's dream that they couldn't interpret because they didn't know it. He didn't know it. Daniel came along and he said, I'll tell you that dream. You saw that statue, head of gold and all that, going all the way down to the, you know, the silver and the iron with clay and all that. He said, those are the kingdoms of the world. You're the head of gold. Then it goes on down, I think, into modern day. He says, but wait a minute. There is a stone coming. A stone that was cut out of a mountain without hands. So that stone is being thrown at that statue and destroys it. And he says that stone is the kingdom of God that shall be forever. My Lord and your Lord. When he hung up on the cross, was not a loser. He was not defeated. He was obedient. Obedient unto death. Even the death of the cross. Though despised, though rejected, though cast out by his own, he has become the head and the chief
of the corner. And he will reign forever. What are we afraid of then? Why would we fear anything with such an ally and such a Lord as this? Because, my friends, folks try to deny it. They try to think of ways to belittle Christianity. They've tried and they tried and they tried. And they're still trying and they will always try. And they cannot stop it. I have known individuals been in a scientific way and thought of that this world came into being because of these things or whatever and this and that and the other. And then finally, they get to a point, I can't explain it. They deny, they laugh, they belittle Christianity. And then I have seen those same people being brought to their knees by the consequence of life and found no satisfaction. And some of them clave to the Lord and said, it's got to be. It's got to be. How else can it be? He will have vengeance on all his enemies. Isaiah sees him in Isaiah 53 as a lamb, dumb before the shearers. That scripture, I quote it 3 times. He said it's there. He's despised, rejected a man. In Isaiah 53. He gives us a very detailed account of the death of our Lord. And 10 chapters later, Isaiah's standing there and he sees a man coming. And he said, who is this? Who is this? Why, you've seen him already. You've seen him 2 or 3 times already in this prophecy, Isaiah. You saw him in chapter 9. You saw him in chapter 40. You saw him in chapter 53. Now when it comes to 63, when he comes conquering, who is this? Who is this that cometh out of Bozrah, out of Edom, with dyed garments from Bozrah? Why, he's traveling in the strength of his glory. Who is he? Who is this? And he answers him, here's your king. Here's the despised, rejected, but here's the cornerstone. I that speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Who else is mighty to save? We're not even mediocre at saving. He's mighty at saving. Who is? That's the same man. That's the chief cornerstone. Oh, I call, all right, this is the, I call this the taken verse. Just woke everybody up. What do you mean, Brother Dave? Y'all know that line? I've got this written in my Bible. I will look for you. I will find you. And I will kill you. That's what he's saying. You cannot escape me. Now, my friends, he's found us. He found us before the foundation of the world. He found us when we are polluted in our own blood. He found us written in his heart. He found us in regeneration. He found that he'll find us in resurrection. He knows where we are because we're in his mind and in his heart. That's our cornerstone. To the rest, I'll take care of y'all later. All right. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 6. I believe it's 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 6. Talking about Christ. Verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed even of men, but chosen of God and precious. As that chief cornerstone. Ye also are lively stones, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. That's Isaiah chapter 28. I'm laying it. It's mine. I elected it. I chose it. Y'all disallow it? I don't care. It's mine. He says, unto you, therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed, but ye are a chosen generation, etc., etc. All right. Rejected stone. But Peter said, he's the chief stone. He's elect. He's precious. And he said, he's also this. Behold the goodness and the severity of God. He is a stumbling stone, a stone of stumbling. Now, what is he? Is he the cornerstone or a stumbling stone? He's both of them. But what is he to you? Are you stumbling? Don't stumble. Build your life on the cornerstone because you already are in the mind of God. He is a rock of offense. That literally means it is a weapon of mass destruction. That's what it is. God got there first. This day, a weapon of war. Like David's stone that slew Goliath. This is God's stone. This is that stone that brought down the Colossus that Nebuchadnezzar saw. That represented all the kingdoms of men, but God's kingdom overpowers, overthrows, overrules. And while they die and they go are ground to powder, God's kingdom is forever. Now what is it, my friends? Is he the rock of offense? Or is he the rock of ages? He's both. But he ought to be the rock of ages. And that's why the psalmist says, that's why he says, this is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. That word marvelous means wonder, exciting, it's incredible. It's always incredible. It never gets old. It's not something that I've heard that before. It's not, I already got that. No, you don't got it. You need to hear it again. You should never get tired of hearing it again and again and again and again. We sang that. We sang a lot about it. We sang a lot about our Lord on the cross today. We thought about it. We also sang a lot of songs about angels are singing. Angels are singing. We're going to join the angels. I'll submit this to you. I think we've got a better song than the angels do. Because they can't sing of redemption. But we can. They can't sing of a God that loved them from the foundation of the world. Sent his son to die for them and raise them up. And that's why, I think it even says we'll judge angels up there. There may be more going on there than I know about. But I'll tell you this. An angel's song can do no more right now than what we sang this morning, in my opinion, in our hearts, though we're knit together in love, and that the Spirit of God was with us, and we thought about our Lord dying for us. our sins being placed upon him, rejected of men, even where, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We sang about that today. Why? Because he's made to be sin, who knew no sin. And that he became poor, though he were rich. And that so we through his poverty might be made rich. I'm speaking to rich people today. Because you are loved. It's marvelous. It's too much for me to conceive. I'm overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. I think about him on the cross, and it is like, why? For me? For love of worthless me? Why would he love me that much? I don't know, but he did. It seemed good in his sight. And it's done. Hell is not my home. Heaven is my home. I'm already a citizen of heaven. You don't have to wait to get there. You don't have to take a test. You don't have to pass an exam. You don't have to be approved anymore. You're already beloved. You're approved. You've not even been pre-approved. You're already approved. You're already accepted in the beloved. And that's why this next verse, verse 24, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Not we might, not we should, we will. We better. We will rejoice. This is the day the Lord has made. I believe that verse is pointing directly to the cross. I believe that. I believe it's pointing directly to the tomb. I believe it's pointing to an empty tomb. I believe it's pointing on the first day of the week. I believe it's talking about Sunday. I think it so strongly that I think God took very meticulous care to arrange that it all fell out. That on this very day, this day of the week, was the day he chose to rise from the dead. It wasn't on Saturday. It wasn't on Friday. He was still in the tomb on Friday. Did y'all get that? That wasn't very subtle. That was kind of subtle, but kind of not subtle. He wasn't crucified. He was already in the tomb on Friday. It wasn't a Good Friday yet. He was in the tomb on Thursday. I believe he's in the tomb on Wednesday. I believe he's crucified on Wednesday. I don't know why. I think so 3 days and three nights could pass to fulfill Jonah's prophecy. Because it needed to be Sunday. Why Sunday? Because it's the first day of the week. And he's the first fruits of them that slept. And he's the first begotten of the dead. And this is a day of new beginnings. And this is a day of no endings. This is a day that the Lord hath made. This was decreed of God, in the purpose of God, in the mind of God. God sent his Son in the fullness of times, at an appointed time that he said, that is that day. He sent him. And he said, you will go to Jerusalem. You will be delivered. This is my will toward you. And at the end, after he had done all this, for 3.5 years, as they looked at he was going down toward Jerusalem, and they looked at his face, and they were scared. He said he went before him and they were frightened. They saw his face. Determination.
Right.
Isaiah said, I set my face like a flint. Christ set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem to die. For that cause, he came into the world. Nothing was going to stop him. Nothing. Nobody. Nobody. I've come here for this cause. He did this. He did that. Then he had the Last Supper. Then he went out to the garden. Then he prayed. Lord, let this cup pass. Let's do it. It's time. The fullness of time. The day that you've made is coming. It's coming. Let it pass. Let it go. I'll drink it. And when I drink it, that day is past. They come. They come. They're going to take him. Oh, these powerful soldiers with staves and sticks. Oh, give me a break. You think that's going to do it? You could have brought a Tommy gun. It wouldn't have done it. How many men are you going to need to take the King of Kings? You ain't got enough. Whom seek thou? They fall down like dead men. There is your strength. There's your strength. Are you stumbling now? So it looks like you just stumbled over a cornerstone there. Peter says, I'll take care of this. Gets his sword out and slices off a fellow's ear. That's really doing a lot of good there, Peter. That's doing a lot of good. And the Lord heals the man, puts the ear back. Wonder what that fellow thought. Yeah, like, they killed him, but he put the ear back on my head. I bet he heard better out of that ear than he ever had. He said, I had, you know, tinnitus, you know, whatever, tinnitus. It's great. But we still killed him. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Are you the king? Are you the king? Pilate, you're the king. You're the king. You're the king. Thou sayest. Oh, come on. Crucify him. His blood be upon our heads. We want Barabbas. Give us that murderer in exchange. We'll take him. They crucify him. They hear his words. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They still curse him on the cross. Then something happens to one of the thieves. Something happens. The Spirit of God comes upon him. He quiets the other man. He says, we deserve what we're getting. This man's done nothing amiss. Oh, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, those folks have gone on before. They're with him in paradise right now. That thief is there too. Then he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. They say, he's calling for Elias. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And he gives up the ghost. We've won. We beat him. We don't ever have to hear about it again. But we still don't trust those Christians. We'll send some soldiers out to guard the tomb. Really, seriously. They're still in delusion. Wonder what those guards were doing. Y'all want to have a sunrise service on Easter Sunday? You know who was at the first sunrise service? Two Roman guards. And you know what? Then they didn't hang around to the end. They ran. Scared. Who else was there? Just the Lord. Who rolled away the stone? He didn't. He didn't need it. That stone couldn't keep him out of the tomb. Later on, an angel rolled away. I think an angel rolled away the stone. Okay, thank you. I forgot I said that. Yeah, good. I was right. Now, Brother Sardi, why did the angel roll away the stone? So the folks can see. Come see where the Lord lay. He is not here. He is risen. He's become the head of the corner. And this is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Okay? This is not the weekend, my friends. This is the first day of the week. This is the day the Lord hath made. This is why we worship Him on Sunday, because this is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice. The greatest day of all. This is a special day. This is a happy day. We sing about, oh, happy day, when Jesus washed my sins away, when He rose from the grave for our justification and stood in triumph o'er the grave. Couldn't keep me. You couldn't stop me. Jews couldn't stop me. Romans can't stop me. Unbelievers can't stop me. Sin couldn't stop me. The devil couldn't stop me. I am invincible. I am unbeatable. I am life. And in Him, we have our life and our breath and our being. We are in Him, the chief cornerstone. Wonder what's in the cornerstone of Christ? We are. Now look at the capstone. Our resurrection. Our day is coming when He will raise us from the dead and be gathered to Him, soul, body, and spirit. Incorruptible in the Lord and forever to be with the Lord. I still think that the greatest day this world has ever known was when Jesus rose from the dead. Now, some of y'all are looking at me puzzled. And I know why you're looking at me puzzled. Because David Montgomery, one of your great cliches is this, that the greatest day hasn't happened yet. No, the greatest day in your life hasn't happened yet. But that day wouldn't happen if Christ hadn't risen from the dead on that day. It all hinges on that. That's why that is the cornerstone. And that's why everything is built according to that. And I'm going to, the sermon is now officially over. So you can imagine anything you want to at this time. But I am still going to read to you the Word of God. Because I think this needs to be read. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. In you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them. In it, it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you. God bless you. May the Lord bless you is my prayer. We'll sing a hymn. Give the opportunity for members. Any of you brethren got anything you'd like to say at this time? Brother Phil, Brother Sonny. Silence for consent or dissent. All right. Somebody got a number?
131.
131.